Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? God asked Jonah that question. Hey, do you do right? Are you doing right being angry? Are you right having a bad attitude? Let's look at that tonight. Do you have a bad attitude? Father, I need your help as I preach. Use me. And I pray your word would be clearly conveyed in Jesus' name. Amen. You know the story. We've been going through it there Sunday morning about Jonah. Man didn't want to do the will of God, ran from the will of God, went down to the boat, hopped on the boat, sailing the opposite direction of the Lord's will. God set the storm. They threw him overboard. The whale came by. Jonah prayed out of the whale's belly, said, God, you got my attention. God said, all right, time to go to Nineveh. He goes in chapter number 3 to Nineveh. God sends a wonderful revival. The city is turned upside down for God. They're right with God. They've turned from their false gods to Jehovah God. And this preacher, this man of God, what does he do? Instead of getting on Facebook and telling everybody what God's doing, instead of going on Facebook Live and being like, look at this big tent, look at this city turned up for God, instead of being the keynote speaker, he goes and he has a bad attitude. You know, attitudes affect what God's going to continue to do in and through our church. I think about this church and what God is doing here. And thank God for his moving. I love that song. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done. And God is in the business of building his church, of seeing people saved, of stirring the hearts of God's people toward the things of God. And Jonah was able to experience not just a church having revival, just not a block, just not a community, but he was able to see a whole city turn from their idolatry to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God. They made a change, and God did some wonderful things, and yet Jonah got a critical spirit. Let me just say, church, if you want to turn the faucet off, if you want the spigot of God's blessing to be off on this church, then get a bad attitude. I've seen it happen in churches all over America. Man, God starts to stir. I was in a meeting one time, and man, people got saved, and people were making decisions for God. I talked to the preacher a couple weeks later. I said, how are things going? Are you continuing to see results from the meeting? He said, nope, a critical spirit has invaded our church, and instead of going forward for God, now we've stagnated, and we're stalling out, and we're going backwards. A critical spirit will ruin what God wants to do in and through a local church. I know about some of you. I apologize to Miss Barbara, because I saw my kids playing with her fan, and she has her stool there, and they were out using her stool, you know, and they love that fan. I think everybody ought to have fans. That's what they did in the old school before they had air conditioning. Thank the Lord for air conditioning, amen. It may cost money, but we're thankful for it, and to thank the Lord for Brother Jay that knows how to fix air conditioning. But you know, I think about that reality, brother. I think about, hey, you know, your fan's broken. And, man, you know, it could bother you, and it could, I hope Miss Barbara isn't upset about that. I'll buy her a million if she needs it, all right? But you know, I think about some people, some churches. I was in, we were at one church, and I forget, I think it was up in Vermont, maybe in New Hampshire. I think it was with my family, I think before we got married. And, of course, my family, when we would go to a church, we would invade it with all the kids, and we would fill up the pews. And I remember there was a lady, it may have been in a meeting somewhere, she came up to us, and she just stood where the pew was at. And, you know, we're like, what do you want us to do? She's like, you took my seat. And she was quite upset that her spot was taken in the local church. And let me just say, that lady had the wrong attitude. Hey, when God shows up and when God is moving and when God is building his church, there will be a state of flux, and there will be a state sometimes of where we're uncomfortable. By the way, we're not uncomfortable when it comes to Bible preaching and doctrine and music and all the different issues, but there will be times when, you know, a kid might bump into you. There might be a time where there might be a little bit more trash on the ground. There might be a time where, you know, there's the toilet is clogged because of all the kids using all the toilet paper. There will be times in the church as we continue to grow and as God continues to move where there will be issues that need to be dealt with, but our response to what God's doing ought not be that of a critical spirit. And here in Jonah chapter number 4, God's turned the spigot of revival on. I'm talking about, man, forget the spigot. He's opened up the river. It's flooding the area. God's doing some wonderful things. And what does the man of God do? What does the spiritual preacher do? He goes and he sits and he has a bad attitude. Can't you see him?
lollipop in one side of the mouth, steam coming out of his ears. I can't believe God's having mercy on those Ninevites. They're wicked. They're vile, they're cruel, they're ungodly, and God was willing to save them. By the way, we're in the same boat. We all deserve to die and go to hell. We all deserve the judgment of God. Just because your sin may not be that of an abortion doctor doesn't mean you're not under the condemnation of God. We're all guilty before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, what led Jonah to have a bad attitude? What will lead you and what will lead us to turn the spigot off of God's moving and instead turn to a critical spirit? Notice, first of all, what led Jonah to have a bad attitude? It was his selfishness. When we get a selfish attitude, it will lead to rebellion against God, and it will lead to the blessings of God going off. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 6, the Bible talks about God doing some wonderful things in that local church. By the way, I desire for Acts chapter number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to take place in Huntsville. I'd love to see 3,000 folks saved in one day. I'd love to see people baptized, add to the church. I'd love to see our church grow to 50,000, maybe 100,000 people like the Church of Jerusalem. That would be awesome. It'd be epic, all right? But you know what happened? Man, the church is growing. People are making decisions for God. And the widows began to complain. Why? Because the preachers were taking care of everything else, and they weren't focusing their attention upon them. Now listen, we talked about a couple weeks ago how we ought to deal with widows, and it's the church's responsibilities to help the widows, and when there's a need, man, it's our job to jump in. But what were these widows focused on? They were focused on, we're not being taken care of, our needs are not being met, and so they turned on that critical spirit, and it diverted the moving of God for a little bit. And what can hinder God's moving is when we have a selfish spirit. I wonder tonight, do you have that selfish spirit? Is it all about you? Is it about your pew? Is it about, this is my fan? This is my whatever? I think, Miss Larice, is there a blanket next to you? Or maybe Chris and your guys? There's somebody in that section. There's a blanket. Is that your blanket? And by the way, it makes a great Batman cape. But you know, I think about the Batman. Danielle uses it when she vacuums. All right, I know. But you know, that critical spirit, that selfish spirit of focus on me, will divert the glory from God. And that's what happened with the life of Jonah. Notice here, first of all, in his selfishness, notice Jonah's self-righteous attitude. Look in verse number 1. It says, but it displeased. By the way, it blows my mind, this reality, when people, men of God, ladies of God, get displeased that God's moving. But can I just be honest with you? I have found myself having to check my attitude. I preached Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday over in Burlington, North Carolina. And I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? Open book. This past summer, they had a tent revival in Burlington, North Carolina. C.T. Townsend was the preacher, guy my age, and blew it up. Hundreds of people got saved. They had crowds of upwards of 5,000 certain nights, and it went on for like 10 weeks. And I mean, it just was amazing what God was doing. And you know, I was with the pastor, and the pastor was very critical toward the meeting. And he began to talk about this preacher. And I'm like, man, what in the world? God did something. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I've had the critical attitude a little bit sometimes. People ask me, what do you think about him? Well, he's not where I stand. He's not, you know, same stripe. And I find myself under conviction. Why? Because what do? We judge other people. Because we think we're all that. That's what Jonah was displeased at God's move. Because, hey, Jonah was the spiritual giant and leader, and God did something through his preaching and not what he wanted, and he became that self-righteous Pharisee. Hey, you better check yourself to make sure your Phariseeism is checked at the door. Because, hey, that's just pride. And when we think we're something and really we're not, hey, that'll hit. Listen, big names, you know, I've got this position. And you, listen, we're all just a bunch of dust that have the breath of God in our life and God's touch. And it's by God's grace that he even uses us. But he could say to the rocks, you preach. He could, in the tribulation, the angels are going to preach. Hey, God doesn't have to use us, but it's God's grace that does. And Jonah got mad that God used him and God did something. And so notice in verse number 3, it says, therefore, or verse number 2, he said, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country?
Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. What did the Pharisee say? What did this self-righteous man of God say? He said, God, I knew it. Hey, I already read it in your word. I knew in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sin, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their land. And God, I knew all that. And I told you when I was sitting on my couch before you called me that I didn't want to go to Nineveh because I knew who you were. Can't you hear the Phariseeism, the Pharisaical attitude? I know your word. God, I know you, who you are. I know. Listen, you may know a lot about God but not be right with God. You may be able to sing all the hymns in the hymn book, backwards and forwards. You may be able to quote the whole Bible. You may have taught Sunday school for 55 years and still not be right with God. That's where Jonah was at, being used of God, and he's a self-righteous Pharisee. I think about Elijah. Same case in Elijah, 1 Kings 19, right? God, I'm the only one that's not bowed the knee to Baal. Everybody else has rejected you. Everybody else has gone after idolatry. Everybody else is wicked, but I'm the only one. Hey, let me just remind us tonight, friend. You're not the only one living for God, and I'm not the only one living for God. Thank God that there's still a remnant. Thank God there's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Thank God that there's still Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that are not bowing to the whims of Nebuchadnezzar. Thank God that there's still preachers like Isaiah and Ezekiel and men of God like John the Baptist. You're not the only one. And when we get to a place where we think we're all that, I understand we need to check ourselves because we're probably having a critical spirit and a bad attitude. We see his selfishness was based upon his righteousness. I know. He claimed to know God. By the way, when you've got to tell people that you know God, there's probably an issue. When you've got to proclaim how spiritual you are, there's probably an issue. You know, I have found the people that walk around. I remember when I was in Bible college, there were certain kids, they'd walk around and they would be singing at the top of their lungs hymns. You know, and boy, everybody knew that they were singing the song, right? But then to come and find out, man, they're living in sin. They're doing stuff. All the while, they're putting on the pretense that I am somebody when I'm really not. And you don't have to proclaim your goodness. The Bible says every man will proclaim his own goodness. But you know what? God's the one that knows. He's the one that keeps the score. And Jonah said, God, I know you. He was a self-righteous, selfish preacher. And so we see what caused him to be, we see his selfishness played out in that self-righteous statement. Notice he said in verse 3, he said, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. How selfish is that? By the way, let me just say this, suicide is a selfish way out. It's a selfish way out. Why? Because it's all about you. And listen. The Bible talks about how God will give new grace when it's my time to go. And God will allow you to go through things and God will give you the grace. Suicide's never an option. And I had a friend of mine, 16 years old, committed suicide. It's never an option. It's a selfish decision. But that's what he said, take away my life. He was more concerned about his reputation than he was about lost souls. So we see he was selfish as in that self-righteous attitude. Notice in verse number 4, we see his selfishness and his stubbornness. It says, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. I see, second of all, he was stubborn. He was stubborn, first of all, toward the rebuke of the Lord. Verse 4, doest thou well to be angry? I wonder this evening, when God deals with you, are you stubborn toward his rebuke? I know most of the time we don't like it when we're confronted. I told Larry, I said, I can't stand confrontation. I really don't like it. I really dread it. And before I'll say something, man, there's like nights of wrestling with it and thinking about it. And I just don't like confrontation. But you know, a lot of times when there's confrontation, there's a fear of how people will respond to what you're saying. And Jonah, man, God confronted him. Jonah, hey, here's the issue, man. Doest thou well to be angry? And what's Jonah's response?
It's not of a brokenness. When Nathan the prophet confronted David, what did David do when he saw, when Nathan said, pointed his finger, said, "You're the man"? What did David say? He said, "God, have mercy upon me. Hey, God, purge me. Hey, God, clean me up. God, change me. God, you're right. I'm wrong." David had that right heart. Jonah said, "Hey, I ain't changing. I'm not getting right. God, I want you to wipe this city out. I want you to destroy these people." He was stubborn toward the rebuke of God. Are you stubborn toward his rebuke? Not only was he stubborn toward the rebuke, but number two, he was stubborn toward the word of God. Hey, doest thou well to be angry? I wonder, when you read your Bible, when the word of God is preached, do you reject it? The Bible says that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own self. When the Bible is preached and you are rebuked, and by the way, when I study my Bible, and then when I'm preparing sermons, let me just say something. God rakes me over the coals. Man, God deals with me. God says, "You need to deal with this." I found myself, going out to my car and sitting in my car as I've been studying at Dunkin's or Starbucks or some other place. And I found myself just getting low with God, apologizing, dealing with sin. Why? Because the Word of God's been going forth. And I don't want to come to a place in my life where I am dull to the Word of God. But God spoke to Jonah, and what did Jonah do? He turned off God's word. God, I don't want to hear it. Hey, if that's where you're at tonight, if you have that attitude, then you mark it down. You're going down the cliff to spiritual destruction. You are heading away from God, and just a matter of time, your fruits will be brought forth, and then everybody will see. You may be a Pharisee for right now. You may be able to put on the facade, but you continue going down with that attitude. No God, no God, I'm not dealing with this God. And you mark it down, you're just over that precipice, just down the road, God will reveal it. Jonah said no to the word of God. He was stubborn toward the rebuke of God. But notice there, thirdly, he was stubborn toward the will of God. He said in verse number five, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow," notice, "till he might see what would become of the city." What was Jonah's desire? Kill him, God. Wipe them all out. Fire and brimstone, do what you did to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't care about those lost souls. But what was the will of God? The will of God was people would be saved. By the way, what's the will of God for Huntsville, Alabama? That all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the will of God for this church? Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God's will is for people to get saved through the ministry of this church, to get baptized, that we send them out to do something for God. That is the will of God. And yet, you know what I have seen in churches? I've seen many churches that have a hesitant spirit toward that. They have, I've heard of churches that, man, they turn the spigot off because they refuse to submit to the will of God. I wonder tonight, are you submitted to the will of God? God, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever you want to do, God, I'm not standing in the way. How to have a bad attitude? How did Jonah have a bad attitude? He was self-righteous. There was that self-righteousness and his selfishness. He was stubborn. But I noticed there in verse number six, I see he was, number three, stupid. Now, kids, don't say stupid, all right? But it's got to be all S's, all right? So I didn't know of another word. I didn't Google another word, all right? So don't say stupid, or you'll get in trouble. Or Josiah, Lily, Leah, you'll be in big trouble if you say it. But he was, all right? He was the S word. I don't want to say that. He was stupid, all right? Because there's a lot of things you ought not say. But he was stupid, all right? Why? Look in verse number six. I mean, you get in trouble when you preach, all right? Those of you that are not involved in public speaking, man, there are many times I've said foolish things in the pulpit. And I was a couple weeks ago, I was preaching up in New York, and I was talking about the egg, larva, pupa, and adult, and I said it wrong. And everybody just started laughing, you know, the third one, egg, larva, and then, and I said, man, that doesn't sound right. It was bad. So I know you never make mistakes, all right? But he was stupid, all right? So notice what he was focused on. In verse 6 at the end, it says, "So Jonah was exceeding glad," notice, "not for salvation, not that God's wrath was subsided, but he was glad for the gourd." He was glad of the gourd. He was focused on a weed instead of being focused on what God was doing. Hey, you talk about, my dad used to say growing up, you got a hole in your head. You're drinking bad Kool-Aid. Bad Kool-Aid was Mountain Dew. But he's like, man, you're drinking bad Kool-Aid. That's what Jonah was doing, man. Drinking bad Kool-Aid. He had a hole in his head. Man, he's more focused on a weed, a dandelion, right? A gourd. He's focused on a piece of bamboo. He's focused on this little weed instead of being focused on the blessings of God. You know, I'll be honest with you, though, folks. There's been times in my life where I've been more focused on the weed than on the blessings of God. Hey, can I ask you this evening, what gourd is it in your life that's hindering the blessings of God from being all over you? What is that one thing that you're not willing to submit to God about? That pharisaical, self-righteous, I'm better than everybody else. I've seen it. Well, I went to such and such college. Well, I have such and such music standards. I've got such and such dress standards. I've got the right Bible. I've got, and by the way, all those things are wonderful, right? But you know what? When you get a pharisaical attitude that I'm better than that crowd because, man, they don't have this and they don't do this and they don't act like this and they didn't go here. And when we have that attitude, you mark it down, you become a self-righteous Pharisee focused on the gourd instead of being in the place, the blessing, where the blessings are coming out. Listen, Jonah, what are you focused on? He's focused on the weed, which may have been a blessing because man had protected him from the shade, gave him shade, but instead of being focused on the bigger picture. When we become focused on the small things, that's where we get messed up. That's where churches get off track. You turn on the news, there's some churches that are out there in the news that think about Westboro Baptist, right, where you guys are from. And they became focused, started with one little thing, and then they got more antagonistic, more, and grew and grew and grew. And what happened, man? You become that Pharisee. It's just bad news. So what happened? We see, number one, how to have a bad attitude. Do you have a bad attitude? You're going to have a bad attitude if you're selfish. Notice here in what God said to Jonah, though, in verse number 7. It said, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. By the way, God will always bring you to that uncomfortable position where you've got to deal with your issues. You ever realize that? God will lead you, get you to a place where you've got to say, you know what? There's something in my life I need to deal with. And he will lead you to, and by the way, it's not comfortable. It's not fun. But God will always chasten those that are his own. And that's what God's doing to Jonah. The gourd died. It says in verse number 8, it came to pass when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? What did God say? God said, all right, you're selfish, Jonah. And by the way, sometimes when we're selfish, what do we need? We need just a big old boom paddle, right? We just need sometimes, hello, you know, the light bulb goes on. I don't know if any of you have ever had a concussion or been knocked out. I was a junior in high school, and it was fall time this time of year. And, of course, you know, I was very spiritual. And I walked around, and organ music would play behind me, you know, and I never got in trouble. And up in New England, the oak trees would always drop their acorns. Is oak trees that have acorns? I think it's whatever. Maple trees that, well, somebody has acorns, all right? And they'd be all over the ground up in Dublin, New Hampshire, I went to school at. And I'll never forget, it was the afternoon, and I was walking back, going to class. Another friend of mine, Nate McLean, was there, and I started picking up these acorns and throwing at him. And you say, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, I know, or I was a kid. And I hit him with an acorn. Acorns are very painful, all right? That point will do damage. I mean, it really is an annoying pain that's not big, but I mean, it's a pain. And I hit him. And he got mad. He got in the flesh. We know that the Bible says, be angry and sin not. He got angry, all right? And he came charging after me. Well, I decided, man, I'm out of here. So I start running. I figured the only safe place in the whole school was in the bathroom. Wasn't the case. Man, he came in charging after me. And man, he grabbed me and he put me in a chokehold. I passed out. Man, I'm out cold. He didn't know I was out. He let go of me and boom, my head hit the concrete. He said it made a weird sound I've never heard before. And I'm out. I woke up a couple seconds later and dazed and everything. I had an awful concussion. But you know what that concussion did for me? It taught me something very valuable. It taught me never to throw acorns at Nate McLean again. You know what? Sometimes God comes to us and says, you know what, Steve? Hey, here's an issue.
You're throwing acorns about my will. You're focused on a gourd instead of being focused on what God's doing. Hey, I'm knocking you out to wake you up so you never do this. That's what God did to Jonah. Hey, Jonah, you're so focused on a little gourd, on a weed, and you don't even care about the 120,000 people. And it says in verse 11, they could not discern between their right hand and their left. Some have said that that's just kids, babies that don't know the difference between right and left. You know, the left makes the L and the right is the right. You know, they don't know. And if that's the case, man, there was probably 600,000-700,000 people in that city if it was just the kids. But hey, irrelevant of the number, God was saying, hey, Jonah, refocus, acorn your way. Hey, stop having a bad attitude. And you know what? Jonah responded.
Jonah responded to God's dealing with him. Why? Because we read the book of Jonah. Who do you think wrote Jonah? Obviously, the Holy Spirit gave it to a prophet named Jonah. Jonah said, all right, God, I got it. Light bulb went on. And what happened? Jonah continued doing the will of God. And so he got over his bad attitude when? What allowed him when he refocused on, hey, what's the big picture? The big picture is not the gourd. The big picture is not this one thing. The big picture is 120,000 that cannot discern between their right hand and their left. There's much cattle. There's a city that needs the gospel. And Jonah was able to say, I'm changing my bad attitude to a good attitude, and I'm going forward for God. And so can I ask you tonight, Christian, what kind of attitude do you have? You got a good one? You got a bad one? Hey, you'll get a bad one when you become self-righteous. You'll get a bad one when you become stubborn. And you'll get a bad attitude when you become the word we're not allowed to say, all right? The other S word, all right? So three things. Jonah had a bad attitude. I wonder tonight, will you continue to have a bad attitude? Will you move on and let God use you to do great things for him? God used Jonah because he changed his attitude. The choice is ours. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you're doing tonight. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for what you're doing here. And Lord, I believe most here are. And I preach this message. I have not heard negative things, Lord. I've not heard attitude issues. But Lord, it's just the next passage that we've dealt with. Maybe somebody has a bad attitude. Maybe somebody needs to deal with issues in their life. I pray that they would. Lord, help us not become pharisaical, self-righteous. Help us not become self-centered and stubborn. And Lord, help us not to focus on the little gourds instead of the big picture. But Lord, help us to keep our attitude right. And Lord, help us all just to serve the Lord with gladness. And may we serve you because we love you. And Lord, we do love you. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. And now, Father, as we go home tonight, we pray that you would use us this week to lead somebody to you. As we come together Wednesday night, we pray that it would be a time of great refreshment. And Lord, may we have a testimony of what God's doing in and through our lives. We need you. And Lord, please, 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 do not turn the spigot off here at Huntsville Bible Baptist Church. Continue to bless us. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be praying for Brother Dwayne's daughter on Wednesday. She goes in for some pretty major surgery. And I forgot to mention that before. Be praying for Brother Tim. Be praying for Becky. And Brother Eddie, we're praying for your sister if you pass that along to her. And we miss her. It's been a while. But tell her we're looking forward to Debbie being back. And we're praying for Terry. Be praying for Terry. So if you pass that along as well, Charlotte. And praying one for another that God would use us this week and to do great things for him. Church.